Well, we have some very interesting texts today. One of them, if I'm tired enough, is one of my least favorites, because when I was younger, I had a lisp, and it still shows up if I'm tired. Sometimes you can only see it rather than hear it, but I still have a lisp. And Thessalonians is a terrible word to say if you have a lisp, I would just like to point out. But that being said, Laura, you did an excellent job of it, because it can be kind of tricky. And as I was looking at these texts, the thing that came back to me in all of them, in one way or another, is this sense of calling, and then went to the story of Zacchaeus, because it's well known, and it's a charming story in many ways. It's got a delightful plot, might be too strong a word, but it's such a great little story. We have this wonderful character of Zacchaeus, this short person. I have never felt tall. As I mentioned, my brother is 6'7". He's always been at least 5 inches taller than me, and at various points was more than a foot taller than I am. So I've never felt tall, but I've also never felt short. So I don't really know what that would be like, but I can imagine it. And I can imagine what it would be like to be surrounded by a whole bunch of people like my brother. Now, I used to play basketball. I wasn't very good, but I was at least okay. And every once in a while, I could go and scrimmage with my brother's team, and his team was very good. And that's the closest I've ever come to knowing what it's like to be short, because I was surrounded by all these people that were taller than me. And so we have this story of Zacchaeus, who is the chief tax collector, a very important person in the Roman side of things, and a hated and despised person the Jewish side of things. A little bit of history, hopefully not so much that it puts you to sleep. But the way taxes worked in the Roman era was the Romans would appoint a chief tax collector and say, you are responsible for giving us this much money, whatever they decided. They didn't say you could only collect that much money. They just said you have to give us at least that much. And so over a period of time, and possibly right from the very beginning, tax collectors tended to be corrupt and awful. And they tended to extort as much money as possible out of people, sort of take everything that they could possibly get, pocketing the difference between what they had to give to Rome. So the chief tax collector was responsible for the ultimate amount, and then had lower tax collectors below him who went out and found the taxes that eventually went to Rome. So the Jewish people had two problems with this. The first and obvious one is that nobody likes extortion. And even if we're willing to pay taxes, and I think most of us are, I mean, taxes are the admission ticket to civilization, as somebody once described. I mean, we might not like the way our taxes are spent sometimes, but we still understand the need for them. But we don't want to pay more than we're supposed to just because some wretch with a couple of big burly soldiers behind him comes and grabs all of our money. And the other, so that's sort of the economic and personal thing. The other was the Jewish sense that taxes were paid to God, that God is the one who receives the extra. They were used to the idea of tithing into the temple as a sign of worship, not just as a way for the priests to survive and some other things. So it's a double whammy for the Jewish people. So Zacchaeus was, well, disliked would be the kindest way to describe it, and probably even more than that. And because he was collaborating with the Romans, he really wasn't trusted by the Romans either. So it's a good chance that Zacchaeus didn't have a lot of friends. And so Zacchaeus was still interested in this Jesus person, and so knowing that he couldn't see him one way or the other, he runs along and climbs a tree, which to me is sort of amusing in all by itself. Just because, I mean, Zacchaeus is even if people don't like him, he's still a well-known sort of high-profile person in the community. And it's sort of like, I don't know, the premier or somebody climbing a tree just to see somebody. It must have been kind of peculiar. So people are looking around going, wait a second, that Zacchaeus guy, who we don't like to begin with, is in a tree. Has he lost his mind? And so we have this situation. And Jesus comes through, and through the mystery of the Holy Spirit, knows who this person is. Maybe he knows who Zacchaeus is already. He's the chief tax collector. He must have been reasonably well known. And so what we have is that Jesus sees Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. There's some interesting things going on there. First of all, I don't know what people referred to Zacchaeus as, but I doubt if they used his name. I suspect it was more pejorative. Zacchaeus is going to be someone who has very few connections, at least that's our guess. The community wouldn't respect him. They wouldn't even respect his position. You know, he's probably just a bit of an outcast. And Jesus stopped and said, Zacchaeus. Didn't say, hey, you. He didn't say, shrimp, little guy up there. He said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to come and stay with you. Going and eating with people, going into someone else's house, was a huge deal back then. Not quite the same as it is now. I mean, now we'll invite anybody in. You know, if somebody comes to your door soliciting for a charity, even if you're not likely to give it to them, if it's raining or something, you're just going to invite them in. You know, that's just, it's not a thing. To the Jewish people, inviting people in, particularly if you invited them in to eat, had a whole bunch of other things going on with ritual, hand washing, and things that people needed to do, because you weren't supposed to eat particular things and you weren't supposed to eat with particular people, depending on what was going on. And Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house. And what we see is in these words of Jesus, a transformation in Zacchaeus, going from, well, a blackmailer, an extortionist, whatever you want to call him, a terrible person in the eyes of the Jewish people, to someone who volunteers to give half of what he has to the poor, which is almost certainly an enormous amount of money, and to repay anything that he'd taken inappropriately from anyone. Not just repaying it, but repaying it four times. And then Jesus says, and we sometimes get this slightly backwards. Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. We sometimes think that salvation came to Zacchaeus' house after he said he would give these things, he'd give to the poor and he'd repay what he'd stolen. Salvation came first. When Jesus came into his house, when Jesus recognized Zacchaeus for a human being who needed the touch of God in a way that Zacchaeus had never experienced before, that's when salvation came. And it was a consequence of salvation, a consequence of this new understanding for Zacchaeus of who he was in relationship to God. That's what triggered this repaying what he'd stolen and the giving to the poor. And that's where the sermon title came in, because I was just sort of fooling around, where it says, looks like anyone can be saved. Because if you would have asked the Jewish people about Zacchaeus, you know, is Zacchaeus someday going to be moved from this place to the bosom of Abraham, or to wherever they might have been using that language at that time, they would probably have said no. Zacchaeus was not a good person. He was doing bad things to his people. Because Zacchaeus is also a Jewish person who has turned his back on his people and collaborated with Rome. So I'm sure they would have said, no, no, he won't be in. And yet there he is. And so for Zacchaeus, the call brought him into a relationship with God that empowered everything he did. That's a call to this relationship, because everyone gets in, not just, and this isn't just for what happens to you after you die. We also have the call that Paul talks about when he's talking to the people at Thessalonica, when he talks to the Thessalonians. And in this translation, it says in verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. I was going back and forth between how to title this sermon. I like this idea of reminding us that, you know, anyone can move into a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Nobody is hopeless. And we don't get to decide anyway. So we don't even know. But so I stuck with that just because I kind of like a provocative sermon title now and then. But the other one was like, what do we do with these callings? Zacchaeus was called into a new relationship with God that he didn't have before. But Paul, and even Habakkuk, is being reminded that there's a calling already that continues to call us. Because the calling we have continues. It's not just a one-time thing. Yes, we're called into this relationship with God. That's sort of a one-time thing if you want to look at it that way. But we need to continue living out what that means. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying that the purpose of a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, isn't simply to take care of our ultimate destiny. It's for now. And as we work out what it means to be a follower of Jesus, when we work out what it means to be in relationship with God, we're called to keep doing the things that we were created to be, which we discover more and more as this relationship grows. When I first moved into a meaningful relationship with God, well, I think the biggest sort of what I thought of my calling was essentially, don't be a terrible human being. And that's sort of what summed it up, because I was coming from a place where I was closer to a terrible human being than a not terrible human being. And as I continued in this relationship and moved forward in this relationship, I've discovered new things. And I continue to discover new things about what it means to be in this relationship. And so as I work out this calling, as I develop new understandings, just as you do, there are things I'm called to do. When I first moved into a meaningful faith, I never even crossed my mind that I would preach, for example. That grew. It never crossed my mind that part of what I would do is change how I spend my money instead of just on me. But more than that, these things came, and that's what Paul's talking about. Paul's saying, don't forget to keep working on that call, to be reminded that you are continuing to be called. You're continuing to move forward into what it means to be in this relationship. And so if we want to look at it, and I think I may have said this before, we can think of it as sort of two different kinds of calls. The first one is the call to relationship, the relationship with God. And the second one is a call to being who we are and to work that out in a way that helps us be useful to the world that we're around. Spiritual gifts, ministry, all those things fall into that one. But if we don't have that first call, that call to relationship, the second call really doesn't have any place to go, and it really doesn't happen. And so if we're wondering, you know, who is it that Jesus calls? Who is it that Jesus calls into relationship with God? Well, just take a look in the mirror, because that's who Jesus calls. Jesus calls us, first into relationship, and then into working out what that relationship means. People sometimes ask, why do you say that business about relationship with God through Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit? So, well, I like the Trinitarian reference, to be sure, but it reminds me of those two things that we do. We're called into this relationship with God, and it's Jesus who facilitates this. And it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit that then works through us to the world around us. People in this relationship make the world better. Maybe just in our own small little circle. Maybe just in our community. Maybe further. But that's part of what it means. And that's the call that we've all been given the opportunity to respond to. And it's the call that we can all work out. Amen.